the week four installment of the Shy Bears podcast. This is Brad.
And I'm Greg. Soslan is not with us tonight. He's got something going on, so it's just the two of us.
He's got some schoolwork, is what he told me. And that's fine. We're recording on a Wednesday again, which I think we're probably going to do regularly from now on.
We had talked about that. I think it's probably a good idea. So, you know, the three of you that listen regularly just know to expect that.
Yeah, instead of doing this one day or Wednesday, and it fits in better for Monday night games, like next week, which we'll talk about later.
Yes, indeed we will. Are we playing a game Monday night? Is there what I didn't hear anything
Detroit's,
about?
Detroit has to be so out of their mind, or like think that they're crazy that there's actually a Monday night game involving their team in Detroit. It's not like a dome collapse somewhere else.
Right. I mean, well, you know, I mean, Detroit's going to win the Super Bowl.
They've got to feel like Cardinal fans.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God. Don't even get me started on that.
I remember the one story from that Cardinals game in 2006 was that the kicker on that team, I forgot his name now, never did anything Monday, never watched football or anything Monday nights. So it was always his date night with his wife, and once he found out that they were having a Monday night game against the Bears, nevertheless, was like, what? It's like, if your Monday night's your date night and you're a football player, there's problems.
So that, I think that might have been Neil Rackers back then.
Yes, it was.
Former University of Illinois player.
Like one of few that actually gets the NFL and does well.
Yeah, well, one of the very few. But speaking of doing well in the NFL, the Bears finally did something decently this week against Carolina. So let's talk about the game a little bit.
Do we just want to start with special teams? Because that's really what controlled the game for us.
I think that we definitely do. So what do you see some of the key stuff that special teams did? How did they help us control the game?
Oh, well, that Devin Hester punt return was huge. Oh, it was about time. I've been saying for the last 4 weeks that they were going to do it at some point. It had to come.
Mm-hmm. We were all just waiting for him to bust one back, and it came at a time that we really needed it. So, which he has a talent for having. Not only, you know, is he great, but his returns always come at clutch times.
Mm-hmm. And you just have to give him that brief second of time to get a look at where the seams are, and he's got it. And even when he drops the ball, like he did there, he fumbled it around. That gives him the time to see what's out there and where to run, and that's all he needs. It's something else.
And let's not underestimate the impact of the entire unit. There was a very key block on the play. I remember he had perfect seams. It was just very impressive. The whole team.
That wasn't the only one that he almost returned back. He almost returned back a kickoff.
Right.
If I remember it, he got back to about the 30, only because the blocker in front of him slowed down and let the kicker get behind him, so then he couldn't block him in the back. But if he hadn't done that, he would have had the kickoff too.
Yeah. Sometimes you can tell early in a game, oh, he's gonna get one this game. I remember last year when he broke the all time record, against the Vikings, he almost got a couple. Mm-hmm. And so
they'd all been leading up to it all season. I mean, you could tell every game he was that close,
he was dying for it.
Yeah, and he finally got it now, and the somersaults were a nice touch.
They were. And, you know, it really is a shame that he was flagged for excessive celebration, because he just broke a freaking world record. And if there's any time a celebration is not excessive, that's when.
Yeah. You got to enforce the rule. The rule's kind of silly.
No, I understand why they did it. I just think it's dumb.
You know, also, they didn't throw that on Marion Barber, though, but...
Yeah.
Because he went to the ground.
He kind of penalized himself by looking like a fool in front of everyone. Also, I'm watching the replay right now from the back angle, and you can see, like, once he makes it past the last guy, the entire Bears coverage team just kind of stops running and just, like, they're all pumping.
He's gone.
It's pretty cool. They're like, yep, they can't catch him. So.
Yeah, and then there was that that key blocked field goal. Was that in the third quarter? Or was the fourth?
Yes, I believe it was. I believe it was in the third quarter.
It was second half. That's at this point in the week, that's what I remember. And that was huge, because at least three or four guys got it. Tillman, Peppers, they all got a hand on that ball. And, you know, keeping points off the board, because going to halftime, they were only up by six or seven. I was not very confident of them winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was not confident
either.
Of them winning the game through the fourth quarter, because it was just too close, and you could see that Steve Smith and Cam Newton have something going on there.
Yeah.
My God. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Now, if I recall correctly, didn't Peppers also have, I can't remember if it was a field goal or a blocked extra point against Carolina last year?
I think so, yeah. It was one or the other. I mean, it was a kick, and he can just break through that line. I mean, I remember when there were days when you wouldn't put your starters on a special teams play like
right.
that, but everyone
Bears
does it now. And
we don't operate that way, yeah.
Because those guys can just break through the line. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all in all, you know, special teams had a very strong day, which was good because we had been kind of, you know, the last couple of weeks were a little sloppy on special teams. There were some dumb penalties from, I remember, who was it? Corey Graham had a really dumb penalty last week in the game. I remember that. So, mm-hmm. It was good to see them, encouraging to see them back in there. They responded to the field goal that was called back, or not the field goal, the fake play that was called back last week.
You know,
week.
That could have been their we got that fire lit, you know, was seeing that play work and then being pulled back because of a stupid penalty.
Yeah.
You know, that gets you going, and that's a good thing. You know, hopefully
sure
they'll have more of it come out.
So many laps were ran at practice this week by the special teams because of that, I'm sure. So I'm sure that they were very, very eager to not repeat any mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it showed. It turned out they had a very good game.
Mm-hmm. No, they had a very good game. Without them, the Bears wouldn't have won. That's what it comes down to.
Definitely.
Because the points that they kept off the board and put on the board, huge.
Yeah, it's a very close game.
Because, you know, we'll get into it now, because the defense, again, really wasn't there.
Yeah.
The secondary, you know, and it's really the corners. I can't blame the safety. The safety saved a lot of those plays. But the corners are just getting beat. I mean, we saw some good hits, some good stops by Merriweather. You know, there was a one time when he pulled off a Smith when the corner thought that Merriweather was going to pick him up. But overall, he saved plays.
We expect a little bit of that because, you know, it's a simplistic system, but he's still learning it. He's still, you know, new to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I thought he did well. I thought the safety did well, but I definitely am feeling the impact of Chris Harris's injury. And I think, I don't know, you can agree or disagree. Mm-hmm. I think we need him back really badly.
We do, just because he needs a system. It's not that he's a great safety.
Yeah, but he knows what he's doing.
He knows
out
what
there.
He's doing. And, you know, he was trying to come back for last week, tweaked it again. I don't think we're going to see him probably till middle of the season. It's a hamstring. It's hard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's unfortunate. And, you know, I heard some talk this morning on 670 here in Chicago that maybe he doesn't want to come back as fast as you'd think, especially with the odd year that it is, because he's going into a free agency. And does he really want to push himself back and chance getting hurt
right.
and then
right.
going out like Dez Clark? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
And so we need him back. I think the safeties will only improve, and Merriweather will only improve as he gets more time. But the corners really need to pick it up because Tillman was beat and DJ Moore was beat. And who else is a corner on our team now?
Tim Jennings.
Tim Jennings, God,
yes.
He's beat all the time.
Bowman seems to have vanished. So,
yep.
But
you
no,
know, they really need to pick
now
up.
DJ Moore did have one really good play where he grabbed that
grabbed
pick
that ball
six,
out of the air. Yep, that was
which
that
he
was
seems
key.
To have. His coverage isn't great, but he seems to have a head for the ball. And whenever it's like deflected or flying loose, he has the talent to come up with it. So that's good.
Yeah, and
he's good.
Our corners seem to be the players that go for the forced fumbles the most, especially
right.
Tillman. And we know Tillman can do it, but sometimes in a game you just need to stop and to tackle the guy. And what seems like whenever they need to do that, they're not doing that. They're trying to get the ball to be turned over. Which a three and out's almost just as good. So
yeah.
got to work on the tackling, but not everyone's having trouble tackling this year.
Don't let them catch it and then hope you can punch it out. Exactly. If you can just knock it down.
Stop them from catching it. Everyone's having trouble tackling this year anyway. It's the fact that you only have one practice during the week where you're in pads. That's it.
It's
not going to be a pretty rest of the season.
some stats on the passing. So we had Cam Newton, obviously, who I don't know about you. I was actually pretty impressed by.
Oh, I was too. I knew he was going to be good when he was at Auburn, and
I thought
him there.
It was going to be bad, but I was wrong. he's good. But so he got 374 yards passing. Now that's obviously a lot. So his completion attempts was 27 out of 46. So there's, in some sense, you made him inaccurate, but in the other sense, every time he did connect, it was pretty deep. So that's what, over 10 yards per completion.
Yep.
For 11 even. So,
and even 50% is not bad for a rookie quarterback. No, I mean, hell, we saw it worse out of Grossman in his fourth and fifth year. So
Yes. And then we did have the pick six. He did throw that one touchdown to Olsen. So, and then he ran for two more. So I was very impressed by him overall. And he's one of those players. He's kind of like Vic, where he's not a great passer, but he's good enough that plus his ability to run is just going to throw your defense for complete loops.
He's like Ben Roethlisberger in terms of size and height and throwing ability.
But his fast
with and the legs of Michael Vick.
That's a nightmare, dude.
It is, because they couldn't take him down. He couldn't be sacked.
Yeah, how do you defend that? I just don't know. I mean, what's...
He's taller than his receivers and his linemen. It is ridiculous. They had him by the feet. He was still hopping out of it. Ron Rivera is going to be a good coach for him because he'll make sure to bring in the offensive coaches he needs. And
I've always liked Rivera.
Oh, so did I. I was so upset when they fired him in 06.
Me too.
But I think he'll be good. I think.
Yeah. The other Panther who had a big day was, of course, Steve Smith. He had 181 yards on only 8 catches. So that's what? That's just under 25 yards a catch. So that's pretty freaking crazy.
And he always seems to have big games against the Bears.
He does. I don't know what we did to him. Killed his parents, maybe. Maybe his parents were killed by, like, black bears on a camping trip. I don't know. But he's clearly taking it out on our secondary.
Yeah, because he it's not even like the Packers picking apart. It's just he's running these routes that even if there's someone there, he's catching that ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very good. I have to say I'm a little worried that Stafford and Chris Johnson look at what Newton and Smith were able to do and are drooling a little bit, and I don't know. I'm nervous.
No. I don't know. I think any team knows that they can pick us apart with the pass a bit now. So it's not even just that, but they don't really, I mean, do they really have a running game in Detroit to go along with it?
Not at all. They have a game.
So then, if the Bears at least, you can play 7 in the secondary, and we're getting a little ahead here. Yeah,
which is what we always try to do.
Which is what they need to do, and maybe not as much zone, but they will, and it should be okay. Yeah,
we do have an extra day to game plan, so who knows? Maybe that'll help.
They took 2 days off this week. They don't have an extra day. Well,
maybe the coaches didn't. I don't know. But look, what we need to do is watch the Vikings and Cowboys tape and see what they did in the first quarter, and then do that for in the first half, and then do that for two halves, which is, I think, the missing ingredient that those other teams had. And then hopefully we'll be able to win. But just before we move on to talk about the offense, just one stat that I thought was interesting about the defense that I heard was that teams have scored against the Bears' defense in 13 consecutive quarters, which is the longest streak since Lovie Smith became head coach. So I guess my question for you is, do you think, we've had a couple lackluster performances in a row. What's up? Do you think there's something wrong that we should be concerned about, or have we just faced really good teams? What do you think?
I think we haven't faced, we faced two really good teams. We played Atlanta, Green Bay,
Saints.
Okay, we faced three good teams, so that's part of it. Because the Carolina will be good at some point, and But not yet. They're not there yet. We'll say we've played four good offenses. That's probably the best way to describe it. Yeah,
that's probably the best way to put it. And four pretty good passers. Matt Ryan didn't have a good day, but the rest did.
You're easily looking in those four quarterbacks, because Cam's a rookie, top 15, mm-hmm. top 10 quarterbacks in the league, because Cam, I think, is already getting top half of the league. Especially when you have people like Alex Smith out there.
Right.
So, yes. and Chad Haney, but God, we're not Dolphins fans or
amen.
Colts fans. Amen. But, I think it's that the defense is getting old, and they need an offense that can put points on the board and eat up time. You know, they're very much becoming like the Indy defense, which is they're not built to play with a lead, but they're almost like that now. Just because the offense needs to produce, and with the offense the way it's been, they haven't been playing. It's not that. They can't do it. They're getting tired. They're wearing out. It's like what we've seen before. What do you think about it?
I think I agree with you. I do think we're missing, you know, so much of it. So much of the scheme revolves around the safety. I think missing Chris Harris is a big deal, again, because he knows the system and he knows what he's supposed to do. He knows when he's supposed to pick somebody up or when it's the corner's responsibility. But I think, you know, I think what you said is really good. We have a pass rush and a linebacking core that's entirely built on speed and hitting hard. And when they're on the field for, you know, 8 to 10 play drives every 5 minutes, then that, you know, they wear down, and they would wear down even if they were all rookies still. But they are, you know, 32, 33, 34, 35. So they're still freaks and they're still really good, but they're getting tired and they need the offense to not either score in two plays or go three and out every single drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely it. And I don't think our depth is there as much as it was on the defense as it was in previous seasons. So you're not able to cycle guys out with players who could be starting on other teams, and the talent's thinned out a bit because those guys have left. I think it may, for defensive line, it might not have been a bad idea to bring in Alex Brown again or someone who had been here just to have that extra knowledge, but that's not going to happen now. So,
yeah,
a little late.
Yeah, I think they did work out Pisa today, so maybe he'll be back. He's not a defensive lineman, obviously, but
no, that but addresses
the depth issue.
He's always played well coming off the bench, and he's you can always trust him to not blow the coverage too bad if he does. He's not like Lance Briggs.
Yes. Oh God.
And Greg Olsen.
Well, yeah, he, you know, it was his special game to get some revenge against the team that spurned him. He did okay. He had 5 catches, 50 yards, but his biggest catch was 23 yards. So that's really 4 catches for 25 yards, which isn't very good. And it did have a touchdown. So I don't know. What do you think? Did he get revenge?
No, and I think in that system it's a little hard because he's like third or fourth, and he's up there with the receivers, but you're just not going to see, with a rookie quarterback, you're not going to see him pass that ball around to everyone like you would want.
When Steve Smith is open all day. Exactly. There's no reason to check down to the tight end when your top receiver like can't be stopped.
And I think, you know, I don't know if he really even wanted to have a big game, and, you know, probably didn't even really care that much. I mean, it's Greg Olsen. I don't think he really cared much about anything overall, except that rap song. But
oh God, thanks for reminding me.
All right, well, shall we talk about the offense?
Yes, let's do that. So speaking of the offense, not only ruins the offense, but they ruin the defense too. Thanks, guys. So the big hot button thing, obviously, has been Matt Forte in the run game. So what did you see this week?
Oh, well, I mean, Matt Forte had long runs that definitely boosted. I mean, you see he had the 205 yards. But they weren't able to control that time of possession like you should when you're running the ball that well. He had big runs, but he didn't have consistent runs.
Right.
And I don't know if this was so much Mike March saying we're going to run the ball, or someone else, or Lovey going and saying we're going to run the ball. I mean, we only saw, what, one pass play in all the first half or something, or almost nearly the first half. Yeah. It was like a 12-yard pass to Roy Williams.
Yeah, it was almost as if Martz, you know, heard everyone crying about the amount of pass plays. It was like, fine, now we'll only run it, and you see how you like it. But I have to say, I kind of liked it.
No, so. It sets up the pass. It'll set up the screen.
It does.
It'll set up play action, and those are the things you're going to need to do with the receivers you have. You're exactly. Not going to be able to just run these routes and expect the timing to be there.
Look, if people know where Devin Hester and Johnny Knox are going, they aren't getting open. They're just not physical. They're not fighters. But if you fake the defense out, if you get him the ball in space, they're turning, you know, 5, 6, 7 yard passes into 20, 25, 30 yard pickups easily because of their speed and their elusiveness.
But we've only got one receiver who will fight for a ball, and that's Earl Bennett.
Yes, and we miss him as well.
God. You know, we did miss Roy Williams because he missed the Packers game, right?
Yes.
You could tell that they worked better with him in there.
Yeah.
It just gives you that first option, someone who can actually grab the ball out of the air if he wants to.
Yeah, the question probably if he wants he want to. But yes.
So it wasn't.
I know he's big. He's a big target.
Exactly.
He's like,
it was good to have him back.
He's like he fills a similar role to Earl Bennett. Now Bennett has much better hands, but it's good to have, you know, not only you have a one dimensional pass offense when you only have Knox and Hester and Sonsenbacher. Yeah, you have
all small, about the same height. And,
yeah, it's, yeah.
But
Matt Forte, though, 205 yards, his first career 200-yard game. So I think we can say congratulations to him. He had a touchdown too, pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was a good game for him. It's, you know, people still think that he's not an elite back, but
yeah, that's bullshit.
205 yards, the guy's our biggest producer.
Go on a mini rant about this. I had this argument at the beginning of the season in our NFL about comparing Matt Forte with other backs like Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson, and I got downvote raped by a bunch of Titan fans who were like, oh my god, I can't believe you would ever even compare the two. They're nowhere near the same. But, you know, they've been in the league the same amount of times, and in that time frame, Matt Forte has more yards than Chris Johnson. Out of those three seasons, he had more yards from scrimmage for Chris Johnson. He's elite, and I don't think you can say he's not if you're actually watching football and understand how it works.
And if the Bears were smart, they could have signed him during
but his price is just going
less
up
money,
now.
And now if you franchise him because of Adrian Peterson,
yep,
he's gonna get a ton of money.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, and who knows? Maybe his lack of a contract is motivating him and is making him give that extra effort. But I mean, he's been very good other years too. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know that that's legit. But some people have speculated that. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Let's see.
So it was also Barber's first game as a Chicago Bear.
Mm-hmm. And it was nice to have him on the goal line. I mean, it's going to take him time to get into the system, too, but, mm-hmm. You know, he got the touchdown. He was able to plow through like we expect him to. Can't do a backflip to save his life. I seriously worried that he got hurt.
I know, right?
I was like, they're going to take him off on a stretcher now.
Oh, that would have been a disaster. I hope somebody shamed him when he got back to the locker room. What are you doing, you idiot?
Just don't ever backflip and land on your neck. I mean, at least Hester can do the somersaults and not hurt himself.
Right. Somersaults, much different than backflips.
Well, how about the offense overall? What did you think about them?
Well, they weren't as bad as they were in the Saints and Packers games. I didn't see the things I saw those weeks that pissed me off, which was the dumb penalties and the dumb drops and the misfirings and just all sorts of self-sabotage. So I think that's a definite step in the right direction. But overall, I mean, still pretty underwhelming, right? I think they got, you know, we had a special team score, we had a defensive score. So they had like 13 points over the game. Now, to be fair, they weren't on the field that much. They had two less drives than a normal game, basically, because of those two non-offensive scores. But Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd say step in the right direction, but still not what I want to see.
They're a work in progress, and
yeah, definitely.
That's it. You're not going to get anything else but that. So let's move on to this upcoming week. You know, Detroit gets a Monday night game.
It's against the circle of life.
I think it's been what now, 10 years about when their team actually last played. Yeah,
yeah, if you don't count like the Thanksgiving games as prime time, it's been a long, long time since they have played a primetime game. So we'll just, you know, cover the obvious first. There's a lot of atmosphere surrounding this game. It's the first sellout at Ford Field in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Monday night game. You know, the Lions are trying to get to 5-0 to prove that they're as awesome as all their fans think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we have last year, you know, the controversial week one game, the other game where we beat them. And, you know, I'm sure they want some revenge and their players want some revenge.
No, definitely that they likely wanted to make sure that they because they almost beat us last year that game, both games actually.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So they want to show themselves. I think they really see us because hopefully, God, I bet their fans aren't, but hopefully their fans are smart enough to realize that they're not going to beat the Packers.
Oh, I mean,
they probably think that they're essentially God now, but
yeah, I mean, they beat the Cowboys and the Cowboys are good, right? And the Buccaneers are good, and they came back against the worst team in the NFL, so why wouldn't they?
The Buccaneers have really been the closest thing they've played to a good team.
Yeah, and they're not a bad team. They're average. Like, that's a good win, but...
But when you beat the Chiefs...
The rest of them aren't, yeah.
And you beat the Vikings, who let you win.
Vikings have lost every game. The Cowboys are, you know, pretty bad again. I don't know what it is about the Cowboys. Every year... You know, despite how they crap up the previous year, everyone's like, it's okay, there's still a lot of talent on this team.
The Cowboys.
They're going to be a contender. And, yeah, they're not.
I mean, you heard that about the Yankees when they were awful in baseball between 2001 to 2007, you know, where they weren't great, they were mediocre. You always heard, oh, the Yankees will be great. Kind of like the Red Sox now, too. Like, people say the Red Sox be great, and look what happens.
Yeah, I think that if there are any Red Sox organizational presidents listening, I think you should fire your general manager, just as a side note. Clearly,
so he's screwed, guys. So he can go to the Cubs?
Don't say that. I think because he sucks, you should fire him.
Because we're completely off topic with that now.
Yeah,
I really hope that the White Sox sign Terry Francona. I don't know if they'll do it.
I really hope the Cubs sign Terry Franco, so we'll see what happens.
But I think it would be a good move for the Sox, but
I agree.
Aside.
Yes, anyway, those the few of you who are interested in baseball. You can let us know your team affiliation, but Sauslan is not here to stop us from talking about baseball. So.
And he probably would have been all geeked up on the Panthers anyway, so it's probably best he's not here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He is. Ugh, yeah. Him and somebody else lives in Panther territory. Is it Turner? Yeah, it's Turner.
Yeah, he lives in the same state.
Yeah,
so he's down there. Seems like there's a lot of like transplant fans down there because there's Vikings fans down there too. And
well, I mean, you're not gonna move down there and root for the Panthers. Let's be real.
Yeah, because geez, who wants to grow up rooting for at that point it would have been Jake Delhomme. So
exactly.
But Matthew Stafford, he's gotten through four games.
He's good. Yeah, he's doing well. He's still healthy. Obviously, for any quarterback, it helps if you have a target like Calvin Johnson.
I'm not saying there's a bounty on his head, but the first Bears player to knock him out of the game and maybe rip off his arm, I want to send him $1,000.
All right, I'm gonna make sure that they know that. I'm gonna let Julius Peppers know.
That $1,000, that could mean a lot. I mean,
yeah, that's a lot of money. That's like
that's like a minute of gameplay.
Two whole dinners for an NFL player. No, I think, you know, I guess let's just talk matchups. Like, how do you think their offense matches up against our defense?
I think for the offensive line versus our defensive line, it's like their offensive line has not been improved.
Yeah.
Much since
that's what I've been
last
hearing.
Year, and we have the best rushers in the league, honestly, because they can break through. Depends on how much holding they allow. And I think they'll get to him. We've hit him before. We've knocked him out before. I mean, we've destroyed. Last year, we destroyed two of the four quarterbacks in the division.
Yes, yes, we did.
We can do it again.
Yep. Except hopefully this time we don't bother with McNabb and we take out Stafford and Rodgers.
So I think defensive line versus offensive line, we're good.
Yeah.
It's the wide receivers against the corners that worries me.
Yes, it keeps me up at night. Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, I hope I don't eat these words, but I think we're going to get pressure on Stafford. I think we're going to be able to shut down the inside running game for sure, probably the outside running game because we have a very fast defense. But those matchups between, I mean, like, if I just say the words Calvin Johnson versus, you know, Tim Jennings to you, don't you shudder a little bit? I shudder a little bit.
I think laugh because it's a joke.
I threw up in my mouth. There's actually vomit in my mouth right now.
I think if Mayweather understands that he'd get fined for another helmet-to-helmet hit, because I don't know if he was fined for this past game, but he had one.
Yeah,
because he laid one on Steve Smith really good.
Yes.
Lay out Calvin Johnson. Where does this Megatron nickname come from?
Apparently Roy Williams gave it to him, because Roy Williams is like, oh, I'm Optimus Prime and you're Megatron. But really, he's just stupid.
Jesus Christ, Roy Williams. I hate Roy Williams.
Yeah, me too.
So, the running game will be non-existent for Detroit. It's non-existent now. If they try to run out, the linebackers will be there. It's really that passing game you have to worry about, and I think their defense. It's almost like we're playing the same. Like the same team is playing each other. Is playing themselves.
Yeah, kind of.
Because the offenses can have their moments.
Yeah,
Detroit more than us.
Inconsistent and mistake filled.
Yeah, because we're both still learning and
yeah,
but they have a little bit more upside to that than we do, I think, at this point. But their defense kind of the same thing.
Yeah, very strong defensive line, suspect secondary.
Okay, linebacker core. Yeah, I mean
yeah. And we would have Sue's good gonna if Nick Roach would have been dragging our average down. But
yeah. So it's fortunately, really like you're,
I don't. Fortunately, Nick Fairley shouldn't be back. I don't know. I just read earlier he was participating in drills today, but that's I think the first action since his injury, so he shouldn't be in the game Monday. Because if he would, that would be scary.
Yeah, I see it here that they downplay his return to practice. You know, it's too early for a broken foot. Because did they have to do surgery on that? I don't remember now.
I think they did.
So if they had to set that break, it's just not gonna, it's not time yet for them. I won't even bother for the season just because it's such a weird season, and Dalvin Sue will be fine by himself.
Yeah,
he'll be ripping out people's spines from their backs.
Oh, that reminds me, forgot to talk about Omiel getting benched. We should we didn't have like our rejoicing moment. He didn't. He got benched, so I don't know. Maybe we'll have Spencer inside, or did he play tackle? I don't know. Who cares? Frank got benched. That's the important. That's the takeaway. He will not be playing Monday night, except in like relief duty.
I still think, honest to God, you're paying Spencer to be a center. You should be playing him center.
Yeah.
But Garza's done good so far, so I can't complain. Yeah. But I think moving Garza back to right guard is probably your best bet, because you're kind of just hoping to piece together that line now. It's like you're watching the same team play itself this week, and it's gonna go. It's either gonna be close or it's gonna be frustrating for either team, because Detroit hasn't played a Monday night game in forever. So how are they gonna react to this?
You know, they can. There's really, you know, they're still a young team. There's really two possible reactions they can have. They can come geeked out for the atmosphere and the sellout and the opponent and the hype, and that can like mess them up and trip them up, or it can motivate them so much that like Jay Cutler actually winds up dead, like literally dead.
Jesus, that line better protect him.
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared of him dying.
I was been worried about him dying for the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I think we saw last year, you know, again, because their defense hasn't changed that much. Our offense can have success against their defense. Mm-hmm. You know, get Forte the ball, get Hester the ball, just throw away these stupid little seven-step drop timing pass plays and get the playmakers our ball in space, emphasize mm-hmm. the running game, have protection. Again, we've improved since the Saints game.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to pull up the line on this game and see what they're favoring.
Detroit by 6.
Detroit by 6?
By 6, which, you know, they always give 3 for...
3, so it's a field goal, yeah. So, like, 48's the points.
Which, again, that doesn't always reflect who they think will win. It's just who people are putting money on. So we know there are a lot of stupid Lions fans out there putting money on the Lions.
I don't know, it is a home game, so giving them the field goal makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
I think 48 points is a little high.
Yeah, it seems high.
I think it'll probably be more like 2017.
That was what I was going to predict as my score. You stole my thunder.
Yeah, but who do you have winning?
I had the Bears winning. Okay. We'll get to that. Yeah. Maybe I'll change my prediction now. But I mean, just to kind of reinforce what you said earlier about their offense, you know, I'm looking at the stats. They're 7th in passing yards, but only 29th in rushing yards. So we shouldn't have to worry about the run game at all. And then I don't really know how to read into this because they face some really, really putrid offensive teams. But it says they're 12th in defending the pass, but 20th in defending the run. So again, just what everyone except Mike Martz on the planet realizes is we have to run the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up some stats here too, yeah. They've allowed...
And they've faced running backs like, you know, Blount and...
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, so they're definitely vulnerable.
Let's see. Yeah, rushing 450. They've allowed 452 rushing yards on defense, 5 yards a carry.
They've also faced the passing teams that are 30th and 31st, which is the Vikings in Kansas City. So I don't know how much.
Yeah, they're only allowing 3 yards a pass. That's not too bad. So
that's bad.
I mean, 3 yards. The offense is only rushing 3 yards. I'm reading this completely backwards. Their offense is only rushing for 3 yards an attempt. So not a great rushing team there.
Yeah, definitely.
Two rushing touchdowns in the season so far. That tells you it right there.
I hate to take joy in a player's injury, but Mikel LeShore, their second round draft pick, I was secretly a little glad because I loved him when he was at my alma mater, University of Illinois, and I didn't want to have to root against him / be terrified of him this game. So I don't have to worry about that for another year at least.
You know, I'm so happy I don't have to worry about that coming from a school with no football program. I'll just see a player and like, oh, he went to a Big Ten school. And
I can tell you, I was sitting there on draft day and it was getting closer to the Lions pick and LeShore was still on the board and I knew they needed a backup running back. And I was like, oh, God, no, I know what's going to happen. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. And it happened. Oh, well.
Has he even played a game yet this year?
No, he's out for the year, ACL okay. injury.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe they can cripple someone else and he can be joined. You know, if I'm Matt Stafford, I'm worried because this is the team that's knocked me out once before. And
yeah.
Do I really feel good about playing against him?
Right. Hopefully, you know, we can make him feel that pressure, remember the injury. He gets a little jumpy in the pocket, just mm-hmm. like Jay does in every game, and he makes mistakes. And if he makes mistakes like he did in the first half of his last two games, you know, we are not the type of team that blows big leads. It just doesn't mm-hmm. happen. Like this team we play, the type of coaches we have, you know, the discipline and leadership our players have, we don't blow leads. So if we jump out early, I think we're set.
I found this interesting stat. It's on the... how many points allowed and points scored. They've scored 135 points, the Lions have. Second in the NFL. But they've allowed 76 points in their game. So they're
and
eighth.
If you take out the 48-3 destruction of Kansas City, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure that would be what it would be. It looks like, I'm just looking at it here, it'd be 50, 84,
87,
87.
73.
Yeah, so definitely beatable.
Yep, and so... Their win loss.
I can't believe I said that about the Lions.
The differential is 59 points, and yeah, that beating that they have. Plus their takeaway giveaway differential is 8, 2 game. It's plus 8. They're first. That's because they played Tony Romo.
That's not sustainable.
And the Chiefs. That's not a good stat. I don't know where these Lions fans are coming from, thinking that they're the next Packers or they're the next.
you know, I mean, I think to be fair, they've endured a lot of hardship.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural be to get happy. Accepted. Your team's 4-0. I mean, but to call yourself the Detroit Lions, you haven't won a championship since the 40s.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, what, 70 years ago, and 70's a big number, so that means they're going to be really good. I don't know what their logic is. I got
that. Oh, I hope that we destroy that bandwagon.
Me too. Well, do we want to make our picks then on that note?
Sure, yeah, we can go. Since we already spoiled yours a bit, we could start there.
All right. Well, I did kind of blow my wad on that, but I'm gonna say 2017 Bears. I think we can win. I think our defense and our offense both need a big game, and they've gone 2 weeks getting almost three weeks really getting embarrassed, and they're ready for a big game against a stupid team. So,
I'm skeptical. No, knowing that it's the Lions. I'm. And I know it's Monday night, and I'm, this is more out of hope than what I think. I think it could be 23-20 Bears.
All right, I like it.
It's going to be close. I'm not too confident of the win being possible, but they could show up and actually perform, which would be good. And we could stop the Lions, and if we stop their running game enough, just enough, then we should be okay. And that shouldn't be a problem. I just hope that offense, you know, our Bears offense produces. That's really all that we need to worry about. And the special teams are indoors. Devin Hester will run. It should hopefully be a good game for the Bears.
Yes, I think it will be. I think this is the week that we get back on the right track. Like, all our step-by-step improvements finally come together.
I think if you win this week, win next week against the Vikings. God, that's weird. Two night games in a row.
Yeah, well, the Vikings will.
You're back on track, 4-2, and then the London game, just a coin toss. So if you're going into the bye week 4-3, you're actually in pretty good shape. And the
that's
Eagles,
about where we were last year, and then the bye week came, and we addressed a lot of issues, and we went on a 6 or 7 game roll. So I think we can do it. I'm still hopeful. But if worse comes to worse and we completely crap the season, I'm going to say go University of Illinois. So, you know, it's one year they'll both be good at the same time. I'm waiting for that year.
You know, with that estimation, I could see them going 10-6, which would be much better than what I thought. That's 3 extra wins.
Yeah.
Because this week, I think this week really defines the rest of the season.
Oh, ooh, all right, pressure.
Well, you don't want to give the Lions too much confidence, because we have to play them again. And,
I agree.
The Eagles, depending on how the Eagles look, if we come off the bye week good and the Eagles are still destroyed, you know, then it could work out. We've got an easy stretch there where maybe the Raiders fall off, and Kansas City, Broncos, Seahawks. We've got 4 games there that are easily winnable.
Definitely. We've got, you know, what's stayed kind of in the background after our frustrating, you know, 1-2 and then 2-2 start is the schedule after this is very, very easy. You know, the Detroit game challenge, Chargers game and challenge, the second Packers game and challenge. But other than that, we should be favored in pretty much every game we play for the rest of the season. So
yeah, that Eagles game's a toss up, but you got 4 games.
Yeah, it depends. So. If they fix their problems, then they're going to be
hard. If Michael Vick's healthy.
But if they don't, then we should roll them. So yeah, I said it. Is that a Thursday night game? No, it's a Monday game. Okay.
I don't know if we play any. No, we don't play any Thursday games.
No, we
games
don't.
This year.
Thank God, because I hate trying to play those.
And I don't really like Monday games. I'm okay with Sunday night games.
Yeah, I don't love them either. I like noon on Fox. That's how the Bears are meant to be played.
And noon on Fox with no Joe Buck and no Troy Aikman.
Oh, let's not go crazy. I don't think we could ever see that happen.
God, you know, at least we get. You know, I don't mind Mike Tirico. At least that'll be good.
Yeah,
but. We have to listen to John Gruden. That's not going to be fun.
No.
All right, so I think we can wrap this up. I think we really nailed everything out that we wanted to.
Yep.
Any final
if there's
words?
Anything. Go Bears.
Go Bears. See you next week.
See you next week.